Well, good morning, church. Get your Bibles out. Go to the Old Testament book this morning, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3. Now, if you haven't been following along with us in the messages that have been taking place these last several weeks, I think since the 23rd of September, I've been preaching along kind of in a series about where we are. I ask y'all to pray and to fast for the United States of America for this time coming up to our elections. Not just pray for candidates, but pray for America. Amen. We need a revolution in this country, a revolution turning back to Jesus. We need some eye-opening things to come on, people to see what's going on. Amen. We need to see America get back to the America that it's supposed to be, that God wants it to be. We need people to open up their eyes and see that Jesus is real. Quit arguing with things that are foolishness. Amen? And so we need to be praying. I hope you're praying. And of course, you know, I'm a big history buff. I love history. And I have just been, for me, to have a prayer focus about everything going on in the United States, but I just pick things out. I mean, this may be something for you to do. Go on the internet, do a search. Why does the flag have those number of stripes? Who are all the names of the people that were the signers of the Declaration of Independence? You know, go read the Constitution. You know, just do things that stir you about this nation and about this land and where we've been and where we've come from, what we've come from, and pray. Amen? That's all I'm asking you to do. We got to pray, church. If Christians don't stand up, don't take a stand, then I can just tell you it's the end. How about that? Is that blunt enough? All right? And so anyway, I'm going to carry this on this morning. And the title of this message is titled Adamant Faith. How many of y'all have said before, you know, well, I'm adamant about that? You ever had an argument with your wife and she said, put her foot down and said, well, I'm adamant about that. Has that ever happened? I'm sure not. You see, what I always love about men, you guys are so like macho, you know, like we're hunters. We know how to skin a deer seven ways, you know. It is tough. But when it comes to things like this, when I start saying things, y'all should look at your faces. One of these days, I'm going to get a camera, and I'm going to put it up here so you can see yourselves. Because when I say that, you guys just go like mute. Stone mutes. You make no smile, no nothing. It's like, you know you're going to get in trouble if you say anything. Bunch of chickens. Well, it happens. Well, anyway, let's read this scripture here. I love you anyway. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 8. Now, all of Israel's been carried away into captivity. And Ezekiel, as far as I'm concerned, in the Bible, gets the worst job of anybody. He runs a close race with Moses. I would hate to have 6 million murmuring, griping, complaining people. Right? Underneath my flock. But Ezekiel is right there. I think he's got the worst job because he's already told at the beginning of his ministry that no one is ever going to listen to him. And that's tough. Moses has some hope that eventually the people will get into the promised land. Ezekiel has no hope that anybody is ever going to take his advice. That's a tough job. So he had to be a special cut individual, right? So he's with all the captives that have been carried out of Israel, carried to Babylon into captivity during the siege. They've all been taken out. He's called to go be a prophet to them, to do nothing else than to give the people no excuse to say to God, well, nobody told me. Do you know that you may be called by God to the people that you're around and you're associated with and people you know to tell them about Jesus, not to the fact that they're going to get saved, but so that they have no excuse to stand up before Jesus and say, nobody told me. You may be the only Ezekiel that, you know, they ever get to meet. And maybe you're like Ezekiel, because this is what it says about him. It says, "Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious household." He said, look, I just made you a bigger hard head than them. How about that? You know, can you imagine this? He says, look, I called you Ezekiel because you've got the hardest head of anybody I've ever seen, and nobody's going to listen to you anyway, so you'll make it. I mean, you just wanted to stand up and cheer. Yay, I'm glad I got this ministry. Right? I mean, and if you read through the whole book of Ezekiel, all the things he did, he had visions, he had all these amazing things that we preachers glean out of his book of the Bible and preach all the time. But in his day, he did all of that, but nobody listened to him. Now, I feel like we're in a time right here in America where I've got to speak to you, and I've got to speak to you frankly, okay? And I've been through this whole series talking about there's a bigger picture going on right now in the world today. And what's the fight that we're fighting is this present evil age. We're fighting the enemy that has sowed in the hearts of men evil ways in order to get you away from ever serving God. That's the end story, church. Forget about parties. Forget about anything else. It's to try to get you away from knowing Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus. Hello? The devil is either going to take you off and get you sidetracked because you either get caught up in worries in the affairs of life, caught up in addictions to keep you away from God, caught up in unforgiveness that keeps you away from God, caught up in just the eternal affairs of life. But if you stay on track and you keep going, then he's got to do more. So eventually he's got to make you an outlaw forever even worshiping God. We're so blessed. This nation is so blessed. You know, in just the limited travels I've had around the world, I can tell you right off the bat that this nation is so blessed. I've been over there. I've been in Russia before and seen what it was like to be persecuted to be a Christian. I've been in the Ukraine. I've been what it's like to talk to people who had to go to underground churches because they couldn't open and freely worship their God, their way, out in the public, out in the open eye. They used to tell me all the time that their greatest victory was when a saint died. They always went to the grave knowing that that was their day in communism, because the communist church did not regulate funerals. So you could have a funeral any way you wanted to do a funeral. So they would take the coffin. And the saint that died knew this. They would take the coffin out onto the streets and have the funeral, because that would give them the open chance to preach the gospel to everybody going along. And it was never about who you were in the coffin. You just know that you made, with your dead body, a way for the gospel to get preached onto the streets that day. Now, think about that, church. Just think about where we are today and what we think about the ease that you came to church today, or, you know, you dodged some deer, you had to, get through feeding this morning and get to church and try not to get muddy and, you know, whatever. But you know what I'm saying? Then to just glory in that when you died, you knew people were going to get to hear the gospel. When we publish across radio, we go across everything else today, you know, go into Walmart and buy a Bible and have all these situations that it's just right there. It's just at our fingertips. Yet this nation's not doing anything with it, because it's gotten apathetic, we've gotten fat, we've gotten lazy. All right? And so we're not going to be that church. I can't do anything other than all of y'all that are here this morning and everybody who's watching by video and everybody's listening by radio. I can't do any more than that right here. You know, I've got y'all's attention this morning is what I'm saying. Y'all are the ones tuned in. Y'all are the ones watching this morning, so I can speak to you, okay? And I'm telling you, we live in a day and a time right now that we have to have adamant faith. We have to be like Ezekiel. We have to have a head that's harder than their head. Now, what's funny about adamant, if you go look up, I actually thought the word was spelled A-D-A-M-E-N-T. But that's not the word. It's adamant with an A. And if you go look up, you look up the Greek, and you look up what the word means, it means, it has a sense of meaning prickly, like a thorn, or a gem, probably a diamond, because it's the hardest stone known. All right? An adamant stone, now think about this, is a sharp-edged diamond that cuts through anything. Now, I mean, I don't know if you know a lot about diamonds. I've never really known a whole lot about diamonds. The very first diamond I ever bought my wife was so small, you had to have a magnifying glass to see it, but it was in there. As a matter of fact, I think it was a chip, but it was a diamond. That's how we started life, you know. And the problem with me knowing anything about, like, a diamond is, I mean, you could throw out a piece of glass in front of me and I wouldn't know the difference, you know what I mean? So, but I was doing a little study on diamonds, and just to give you a little bit of history or fact about diamonds. You know, diamonds are formed under extreme pressures and extreme temperatures, right? They're formed down in the what they call the mantle of the earth, where the plates are pressing together under extreme pressure is where diamonds get made. And the only way diamonds get to the surface is through volcanic tubes. They're taken and they're then pushed upwards and out. All right? Do you know that today you're formed by your faith and what you've learned under pressure, under extreme duress, under hard conditions, is what's formed you? It could be bad. Because you could be bitter, envious, jealous. You could be, what the pressure that formed you could have created something on the inside of you that made you more of a monster than a minister. More of a beast than a blessing. Because this world puts pressure on you. Hello? But I'm here today to tell you that you can change your destiny. You can change the beastly part of you to become a blessing part of you if you'll just let Jesus do it. Jesus has the ability to cut through whatever, to get down on the inside of your heart and to bring up those diamonds, those adamant areas of faith that you have, to rise to the top and then make something glorious out of it. He has the ability to work within your soul if you'll just let Him work within your soul. He has the ability to come inside and to find those places in your life that need to be touched by God. To be healed. To bring strength and restoration into your life. And He has the ability to do it if you'll just let Him. He has the ability to do heart surgery on you and you always come out better. But as long as you never allow Him to do the surgery, as long as you never go into His operating table, then we remain either beast or blessings. We don't have adamant faith in Him. We've got to get to those places in life that we can say, listen, I know Jesus and I know what He's done in my life. And through that, I am adamant that this is what is right. Become a hard stone that cuts through the bull of life. The ability to look and to see, look, that ain't right. That isn't truth. What are you talking about? Y'all with me? Let me just give you a little bit of something here. I'm going to get some real from some of y'all, a better. Like, there's certain things in my life that I'm absolutely 100% adamant about. Okay? I mean, I'm adamant about my faith. I believe y'all know that. I'm not wavering from my faith. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody comes up with. I know what I believe. I've seen it. I've talked. You ain't going to change me. But there's a few other things in life that I'm adamant about. Okay? I have been ever since I was a child. It was just, I guess, through my environment, through my parents, through whatever I grew up. Like, I don't believe it's right to ever hit a woman. All right? I don't know why, from right now to that, I just tell you that if I was to be standing in an airport, standing in the house, saw a man hit a woman, well, then I'll probably end up in jail. It's no thought. Well, did she need to? Did he need to beat the pretty lady with a stick? I mean, I don't know. It's not going to be a thought like that. That's not going to be a question come into me like that. I'm not going to look at it and see. It's something that's resolved on the inside of me. It's like, okay, ma'am, are you okay? Wham! I mean, it's over with. It doesn't make any difference how big he is. It doesn't make any difference what's what. I'm just telling you, it's just inside of me, it's not right. If I see it, I got to deal with it. I can't let it go. I can't turn my head and say, well, I don't have time for that. I can't do it. There's something in me. Are y'all with me? Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Those areas of your life, they are adamant faith. They're solid diamond rock. Jesus can take that and build on that. I'll say this. So I can't even fathom and get my head around any of the Muslim faith. I can't do it. It ain't going to go with me. It ain't going to fly. Nobody's going to come to me and bring me a Quran and try to prove me. I can't do it. I'm not even going to listen. Something on the inside of me. It's Adam. It says, it ain't right. Are y'all with me? Everybody hear me out there? I said it. Are y'all following what I'm saying here? All of us have those areas in our life. What's happened is that America's gone to a place where no one, it's such a humanistic thinking of everything, they're only looking at themselves and what what they want, that they don't have any place of adamant faith within their life, something that they really, truly, 100% believe in, that they'll fight with all their heart. Imagine what the signers of the Declaration of Independence, when they knew that they put their pen down on that quill onto that piece of paper, that they just signed over everything that they had that they owned because they knew that they were going to lose everything in order to sign that. Are you there? Let me ask you a question. Are you there? We say, we like to boast. Listen to me. Today's are days that we've got to check in our heart. We like to boast. Say, hey, yeah, they'll pry my gun out of my cold, dead hand. Really? Are you really there? Are you really that adamant? You say, oh, yeah, I am. Really? You know, I'm challenging you here. I'm not wanting to get in some big debate with you over this. I'm just telling you, are you really there? What if they say that you're going to become an outlaw if you have a gun? What if they say that you won't be able to do business anymore? What if they say that you can't buy bread? What if they say that you can't do anything? You're going to lose your business. You're going to lose your everything. You're willing to sign on that dotted line that you lose everything. Well, now, you know, I don't know. Yeah, see? You're starting to already crawfish a little. These are days that we have to be adamant in our faith and know, what do you really believe? What are you willing to fight for? What are you willing to look into the world's eyes as foolish for? You got to search your hearts. You gotta search your hearts and really, listen to me. Unless you really work at this, you're really not going to know what's going to happen at that moment. Some of the presumable greatest leaders in the world in the military, when they were actually put in an actual firefight, crumbled. They couldn't do it. You don't know until you're being fired at. But I'm telling you what, today's the days that you better get serious about what's going on. You better get serious about your Christianity. You better get serious about, because I want to tell you something. There was a day that took place. You say, oh, things are so bad today. No. Listen, used to be when you were a Christian, on Sundays, you got fed to the lions. You got fed to the lions. Now, I don't know about y'all, but, you know, that just doesn't sound like much fun to me. And it would say that the Christians of in that day would go into the lion's den singing the praises of God. And that the anointing of God, the very presence of God, would be so strong in the Colosseum at that moment while they were being eaten by lions. Now see, sometimes that goes against our charismatic faith because we want to say, Lord, shut the mouth of the lion, 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 in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, shut the mouth of the lion. Ah! But they were eaten for just joy and sport. There's a scene in a movie, it's called The Kingdom of Heaven, about the Crusades that was taking place. And the priest of that day, when it looks like they're going to be just, you know, defeated, he says, well, just convert to Muslims and to Islam, and then we'll repent later. See, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? Is it a day and a time that we have to have adamant faith, that we have to have a faith that we really do believe in America? We really do believe in a constitution. Do you understand, church? Listen to me this morning. Hear this good. Do you understand that the Constitution of the United States, which our representatives and our legislators, our presidents, our everything's supposed to be running for, is a constitution of the people? Do you understand that? It's our constitution. It's the voice of the people telling government how it should operate, not the government telling you how you need to be. Do you understand that? When you lose that, it's your constitution. Are you willing to fight for it? It's your voice. It's not some document thought up by the federal government at one time and then put into place. It was thought up by and written by and inspired by those people that wrote their lives down on that piece of paper, willing to die for it, that this is the only way that America could function. It's the only way that the people could be free and could worship their God the way they wanted to worship their God, and to be free from the taxation without representation, and to be free from all the things that the federal government would try to put upon people because they had been abused by the federal government. In England, it's your constitution. It's your voice. But yet everybody says, people are saying it's an outdated piece of paper. It's something that needs to be changed. It's an irrelevant document anymore. No, it's our voice. But are we willing to die for it? Just think about this. I'm just throwing things out. I'm not calling for, you know, the militia to arm today. I'm just throwing some things out here. Do you realize what's being taken? Do you realize every time something's being perpetrated upon you, and every time you hear something in the news that says, well, you know, this was a violation of the Constitution, that's something that they did that took away your voice. It's a day and time that we have to have adamant faith. We have to know in whom we believe in. We have to know what we believe in. And to be adamant, a hard-headed, diamond-cutting stone on our forehead and says, we're not yielding. We have to have things in our life that you know that you're willing to die for. Now, if I don't know every situation. I know that we here in this valley are not like the rest of the world. I don't know if you've know that. But we're not. I don't even, you know, I don't understand it. I just came back on a trip to Florida to see my grandchildren. And I drove all the way back. We drove 13 hours there. And I never ran across anybody that had a cowboy hat on. I was like, where am I? And they looked at me as if I was an alien. And I said, I don't know, boys, I'm right. I saw no one that looked like me. Nothing. I'm telling you, we're not the same. We're not the norm. The way that we think, the way that we operate, the way that we work. Folks, us in rural life like here, it's not like the rest of the world. It's not. Most people this morning did not get up and go feed. It's the truth. Most of them are not worrying about if it rained, did the grass grow so we can, you know, feed the sheep or the cows or whatever. Most people are not thinking about that kind of stuff. It doesn't make us right and them wrong, or them wrong and us right, or whatever. You know, it's not about that. But I'm saying to you, we're not normal like the rest of the world. They don't view us as norm here. But I want to tell you something. We better have some adamant faith or you're going to lose everything. We better be some people that are willing to stand up and have that spirit on the inside of us, like our shorter history of just looking at the Alamo. Texans have always been willing to die for what they believe in, but what do you believe in? What today are you willing to die for? What do you really have adamant faith that you're going to be set, that you will not be moved to die for? Today's the days that you better be getting it. In Ephesians chapter 6, I read this scripture last week. And we talked about it over in verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." We're there right now. Are we going to withstand in the evil day, or are we going to crumple? I'm telling you, I believe so strongly about what I'm preaching here this morning that I'm telling you it's time to shake some people and say, "Wake up! Do you believe? Listen to me. There's more going on here than you think. This is not about Republican and Democrat. This is about an evil age coming upon us. Wake up! I don't know about you, but I want to withstand. I know that I'm going to win. No doubt about it. I'm going into a fight that I know I'm going to win. I'm crawling in the ring with the biggest, ugliest, snarliest sucker in the world, but it doesn't really make any difference. I know I'm going to win. He could knock me down 100 times. I'm going to win because I read the end of the book. I win. Y'all with me? It's not about winning or losing. Oh, gosh, I think we're going to lose. Folks, listen to me. You don't lose. But I want to withstand. I'm a very black and white kind of guy. I mean, I just see things. I don't see gray areas. I just see it. Like, the feeling on the inside of me right now, like I say, you never know until until you're there. But the feeling I have on me right now is I would like to take on embassy guard duty. I'd like to take about 5 or 6 of you guys with me and just, you know, take on embassy guard duty. And my job is to make sure nobody takes my flag, our American flag, down and burns it. And there's no limits on anything. It's the way I feel about it. I feel like that's something to fight for. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely 100% ridiculous. All right? I can't believe that we've gotten ourselves into a place in America where we have an ambassador that's killed, murdered, Americans murdered, and we're arguing about who did it, whose fault it was for letting it happen. Nobody's doing anything to rectify the situation. I'm just like, I'm dumbfounded. I'm like, okay, I'm not a big genius about running this country, but by God, I can do better than this. This has got no sense at all. And I'm saying if everybody's getting that stupid, then you're looking really smart. Are y'all with me? People just got some common sense are looking like geniuses. Because one thing we do have around here is some common sense. Right? To see what's right and what's wrong. And we do have that adamant spirit on the inside of you of the things that you do believe in. And I want to tell you something, though. You have the ability to withstand. You have the ability with the power of God on one side of you, right? And truth that God has formed on the inside of you on the other side of you. I want to withstand. That word withstand means to oppose, to resist it. Withstand doesn't mean you stand there and take it. And then it's all over with and you're still standing. It does not mean that. Withstand means you are moving forward. You are being propelled by what you believe in. You're going forward and everything better get out of your way or it will get run over. Hello? Christians have got it wrong. Christians have got it wrong. They're thinking that, oh, we're just supposed to be this silent, peaceable force in the world that just stands here, you know, trying to look pious and withstand. No, it's not what that word means. That word means that you see evil for what evil is. You call it evil and you get rid of it. Doesn't make any difference if you're looking in your life saying, look, that cocaine is evil. It's killing me. It's killing my family. I don't want that in my life. And you withstand against it. That means you get rid of it by the power of God and your conviction. Listen to me. The power of God mixed with your adamant faith will move mountains. How about that? I just said it that away. I'll change that scripture a little bit. Right? The power of God with your adamant faith will move mountains. It'll get it out of there. You say, well, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, and I'd like to do this, but, you know, I just got so many troubles. And, well, listen to me. I don't know what's coming against you. I don't know if it's poverty. I don't know if it's, you know, just rejection. I don't know what's going on. Listen, the power of God and your faith will move that mountain from your life. You just got to get it moving. You've got to move forward. You've got to withstand. I remember when I first started out my Christian walk, I had never been around any man in my life who prayed out loud, other than hearing my grandfather say the blessing or something of that nature. I'd never been in a place where men just prayed out loud. So I grew up with this thing that, you know, that just, it's like, I don't know how it got in my head, but it was almost like a sign of weakness rather than strength. And I remember trying to pray out loud, and it was just the hardest thing. For me, just to let those, it just didn't seem right. I remember one day, it just is like a battle, struggle on the inside of me. This part of my thinking and that part of my thinking. And I finally said, you know, this is ridiculous. And I said, this is it. Here it goes. It's like jumping off a precipice. I just, I started just praying out loud, letting it rip. Man, I was like, wow, that was good. That's, I like that. And then, before long, I was the loudmouth on the back porch. Before long, I couldn't figure out how to pray unless I was saying something. Are y'all with me? I had to overcome that fear. I had to overcome that wrong thinking within my mind. I had to withstand it, not just saying, oh, well. No, I had to go for it. I had to propel my faith into it. I had to rip those walls down to get to the other side, which brought victory. Brought victory. Hello? Withstand does not mean just to stand there, okay? We have to have that faith that propels us through life. It cuts through anything that gets in our way because you're in forward motion. I just cannot believe, and I pray that preachers today are preaching from the pulpit and encouraging their people, because Christians, if we would just stand up and say, no! I believe it would reverberate through this United States of America and change things everywhere. In my travels from here to there, there's churches everywhere. I mean, what are they doing? I mean, if we just rose up and said, no, this is stupid. But everybody's like, well, you know, everybody gets to do this, and we don't want to hurt their feelings, and we want to do this, and they get to go to this, and whatever it is. Just mealy mouth around, nobody does nothing. I mean, they're going to change the national anthem to Tiptoeing Through the Tulips. It's ridiculous. One of the excuses I heard about them not having more forces to guard the embassy in Libya was that they didn't want to have a show of Marines there because they didn't want it to, you know, look military, like, you know, like, wow, we're really being, you know, we've got a bunch of, you know, forces here. We didn't want anybody to see that. We didn't want to offend anybody. Well, then close the whole thing down and get out. You know, I mean, my gosh, if you're not going to do anything with it, just come home. Sit around in your little soft places. I mean, it's just stupid. Just stupid. Hello? Okay, I haven't even gotten to the message yet. That's what's really funny. Honestly, I have not even got to the message. It's been good, though. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. Let's look at this. Jeremiah 17. Wow. Jeremiah 17:1. It says, the sin of Judah is written in the pen with a pen of iron. With the point of a diamond, it is engraved. That word diamond there is the same word that was over there in Ezekiel that was done as adamant stone. Okay? If your sin can write on your tablets of your heart, what about your faith? Are y'all with me? If sin, I don't know about y'all, but you know, sinning is pretty easy. Hello? I mean, maybe it isn't to y'all. It is to me. Sinning's pretty easy. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I love Jesus with all my heart. I know I'm headed to heaven, but sometimes the first thought to my mind is not godly. Especially when somebody cuts me off in traffic or, you know, does something of this nature, and my first thought is not, oh, God, bless them. Let that person have a blessed day. My first thought is, you idiot, what are you doing? Are y'all with me? Saintly people like y'all probably don't have those thoughts. I do. There's still some things in me, all right? Sinning comes easy. Well, if sin can write on my heart, that comes real easy. Well, then just turn it in reverse and let faith write in your heart. What do you really believe in? What do you really stand for? You see, it's not like, well, sin is, but faith is hard. No. Faith is really what you believe in. Let faith begin to write and engrave in your heart, you know, your Ten Commandments, your Declaration of Independence, your life of what you're standing for and what you're going to do. Like myself, listen to me. Y'all have to understand something. I don't know if y'all really know this. Those of you that know me for a long time, you do, but those who don't. Listen, whether I'm standing behind this pulpit as a pastor of Living Waters Church or not, I am who I am. I'm going to be like I am and say what I say and do this forever. I'm not changing. I don't have this as a job. This is not my job. This is just who I am. Y'all just get the overflow, and I'll stand here as long as Jesus tells me. It's not my job. I'm just telling you what I know in my heart and I believe. And I just tell you every Sunday. You follow what I'm saying? This is me. I didn't pray this morning, Lord, give me a good sermon so I can write it up and everybody will be happy. No. So, Lord, what's going on? What's happening? And it's what I'm doing. I'm going to be this way no matter what. But what if there's no church here? What if there's no building? What if it's all shut down? Are you still going to be a Christian? Are you still going to be able to encourage yourself and have faith if everything's gone and we're all hunted? We have to have an underground church and you don't know where it is. You know, in China, the underground church, you have to get up in the morning and pray and ask God to speak to you and tell you where the church is so you can find it. How's that for finding directions to church? You know, somebody hadn't showed up in church in a while, and you say, hey, Joe, what's going on, man? I hadn't seen you in church in a while. Well, I've been praying, but I just didn't get the right directions. I've been to finding God here. I'm not joking. That is truly the way it happens. Those heirs, they may be persecuted and killed if they knew they're going to church, and so they do not say where church is. They just say, listen, folks, pray, and God will tell you where church is. Can you imagine how stupid you must feel if you thought, you know, 123 South Street. Okay, that's where it is. Oh. And you go and you open the doors and there's nobody there. Dang, missed it. Nobody to call. Hey, really, where's church this week? I've been praying all week, but I haven't heard anything. I haven't got it. I mean, you either become a really good Christian or, man, you ain't going to church. Yeah, you're going to learn to get close to God if you want to know where it is. But what are y'all going to do? See, this is what I'm talking about. This is the places in life that you've written with the pen of iron on your heart that has become an adamant place. It doesn't make any difference to you. Your faith is not going, well, I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to be a Christian anymore because, you know, well, I don't know if it's even worth it. You know what I mean? Well, you're not adamant about it. And you're just going to be washed away with the tide. But when the tide comes in and the wave come rolling in, the wave goes rolling out, I still want to be standing there, moving forward, saying, you still want some of me? They told me, my Russian friends told me that in the prison where they would take them for being Christians and torture them, that inside the room where the torture chamber was, written over the door, said, go ahead, cry out to your God, he won't hear you. I said, what did you do? He said, I cried out to my God. You see, folks, we've never lived like this. We've gotten the easy road. We've been on easy street. And because we've been on easy streets, made us soft. But it's time to get tough. It's time to get down into your life and know what you truly believe and what is really you're willing to pay the price for. So let me give you the message, right quick. It'll be quick. Four things. Four steps to move forward with from this message today. Okay? I'm giving you something to do. I'm not just telling you this and do it. I'm giving you homework. Homework. Number one. And I'm just going to, for time's sake, just going to give you the scriptures and we can go look at it later. But Luke 18, verse 1, is the story of the woman who was going to the unjust judge, and she cried out day and night, and he said, finally, he's going to give her what she wants. I'm tired of listening to her. The first thing you have got to do, folks, listen to me, is you have got to pray. You have got to pray to set the stage for God to move in your life. You have got to communicate with heaven. You've got to pray. Now, my book on how to pray is at the publishers. It's going to be here in a couple of weeks to just give it and put it in your hands to tell you, you know, if you don't know how to pray and you've not developed your life of prayer, here it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps to do. Just put it in your life and just apply it. But if you don't know how to pray, listen to me. It's talking with God. Not giving him your grocery list, but talking with him. Not just, it's not, now I lay me down to sleep. That's a great prayer when you're just a child. But I'm going to tell you something. We've got to grow up from childhood. We've got to pray. We've got to communicate with God. We've got to set the stage for God to move in our life. If we pray, he will answer. Amen? The second thing you have got to do in life is you've got to yield your voice to God. You have got to be speaking positive. Listen to me. We win. Whatever government does, they make it more difficult for us. They take away some of our comforts. They do whatever, but we win. They want to tax me 100%, tax me 100%. I don't want it. I don't want to pay for everything. I don't want to do their garbage, but I want to tell you something. You're not going to hold me down. My God is my source, not the government. My God is my provider, not the government. I don't look to Obamacare, Medicare, any kind of care that's going to be my answer. I look to Jesus, who is the answer. You with me? Now, I'm not saying I don't go to a doctor or whatever. I want advice. I want so whatever. But I'm just saying that's not the end result. It's my relationship with Jesus. Folks, listen to me. I hate to say these things because I don't want to cause panic, okay? But do you realize that it would not take but a little bit of a boo-boo, mix-up, mistake, to cause all kinds of problems and just transportation? We live in the middle of nowhere. How do you think they're going to get your medicine out here? Anybody ever think of that? And I want to tell you something. Today's the day to know Jesus and to know healing. We don't live in some great big secure place. It would not take any bobble at all to cause all kinds of problems in these areas. I'm just saying, when it boils down to it, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You better have faith in God. You better know Jesus. You better know how prayer gets answered, because Jesus always can get through anything. He doesn't need, you know, gas to get his delivery truck to you. Huh? I want it. Listen to me. I want to tell you something. I want it just about more than anything to be the days of early Acts when the shadow of Peter just passed by people and they were healed. Right? Everybody said, why didn't that happen today? I tell you why it didn't happen today, because everybody's going home taking their own medicine. There's a big difference. Listen to me. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with taking medicine. Don't get me out there. Don't you do it. Don't take words out of my mouth. I'm just saying, when it boils down to it, and you live in a third world country and you're going to die because there is no medical attention, you have adamant faith for God to heal you. When there's an alternative, you go to the alternative. But I'm telling you what, if America goes to the place where we end up like a third world country, where you can't get all the things that you're looking for, then by God, you better get hold of faith. Because you have, that's it. It always works. But people say, well, I don't want to pray. Just like the Chinese guy trying to find church. He ain't never going to make it unless he really starts praying. Or really gets down that relationship, he's not going to hear. You've got to yield your voice to God. You've got to speak His positive word. It says in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, as it is written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believes God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. You've got to get your, listen to me, the devil doesn't win. I want things to change, but if they don't change the way I think that they should, it don't make no difference to me. We're going to win. You got to get your voice lined up and begin to speak and quit saying, oh, well, we're all going down. Listen to me. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to walk the streets of gold. I'm living for eternity. Ain't nothing waiting for me but good. You say, oh gosh, world's going to fall. We're going to lose our 401ks. We're not going to have any money. Oh God, should I buy this? Should I buy gold? Should I buy silver? Should I buy this? Should I buy this? Man, I already got all the gold that I could ever spend. I already laid it up in heaven. I sent it ahead. It ain't going to no rust and moth going to go out there. Every little baby we've rescued in that Guatemalan orphans, you've got an account in heaven just waiting for you. Man, I sewed it in the big bank. I'm not worried about interest rates. It ain't going down in heaven. On this earth, I don't know. I just know this. If I gotta put a dirt in a bowl and believe God and He can change into something that I can digest, then by God, He'll do it. That's all I got. It's a handful of dirt in a bowl. He said, that's ridiculous. Happened in the Bible. It wasn't dirt. It was cornmeal, but, you know. Poison gourds in a pot, throw a little salt in it and eat it. Put some salt on it, it'll be okay. Hey, better have some faith to eat it. You know, I've been there before. I was in the Ukraine when we had a meal there, and the pastor put it on the table, and it's borscht, cabbage soup, with a big old dollop of sour cream sitting in the middle of it. I hate sour cream. And I said, oh, geez, man, that's terrible. Lord, help me. And so Pastor Randy was with me. They said, say the blessing. You know, it was an honor to give it to let the American pray. And so he said a nice little blessing. And then the Russian guy said something. And I asked the interpreter, what did he say? He said, good, now the radiation won't hurt us. I said, ho, hold on here. That sounded like a lay me down to sleep prayer. We're having the second round of prayer over this borscht, man. And I mean, it was like, Jesus is going to kill me. Oh, God, I got to eat it. Help me, Lord. I mean, it was a prayer from faith, adamant from my heart. Then I said, now I can eat it. It's a big difference when you don't have any pressure. It's a big difference. Then we got to be people that start calling those things that be not as they are. The third thing is you got to speak your faith to others. Now listen to me, you got to start praying. You got to start speaking positive of what God's doing. You got to start speaking your faith to others. Listen to me. Folks, you are the mouthpiece of God on this earth. It's you. There are people out there today that are worried and full of fear and just falling apart. And you're the person that when you come across them, you look at them and say, listen, I want to tell you something. You know, do you know Jesus? Do you have any faith? What are you believing in? Are you trusting in Him? Today's the day to start speaking that. You've got to be your voice. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what it is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. Are you that away? What you believe, you're going to speak? Today's not the day to be quiet. People ask me all the time, say, oh, what are you doing? And I'm believing in God, trusting in faith, reading my Bible a little more, praying a little more at night. Well, no, I'm talking about, what are you doing in the natural things? I'm reading my Bible a little more than I have, praying a little longer than it, doing a little more. That's what I'm doing. Well, what about that? No, I'm praying, believing God. When it comes right down to it, I want to walk in miracles. The fourth thing is you have to step out in faith and go where God opens the door. Listen to me. You cannot do something if there's no open door. When there's an open door that God has opened before you, then you walk through it. 1 Corinthians 16:8 says, I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effectual door is opened unto me, and there are many, but there are many adversaries. Listen. You may not know what to do right now, but when you start praying, you start speaking positive, and you start speaking to others about that, about your faith, then God will open doors for you. And when He opens those doors for you, then you walk through them. And that's where we are today. Maybe one of you sitting in here has got the answer to go speak to Congress. I don't know about that. Hey, that's not impossible. I mean, Daniel Boone walked into Congress and spoke one time. He can, we can. He's just a good old country boy. He did. Saw it on TV. I'm just joking. Are y'all with me? If God puts something in your path, well then He opened that door for you. You know, let me just put it to you like this. If somebody, and just a real simple thing here. If you said, I don't know, it's the strangest thing. Everywhere I go, somebody's just been offering me free generator. Somebody's going to give me a generator. Everywhere I go, everyone's going to give me a generator. Well, maybe you should stop and maybe think, well, maybe God wants you to have one. I mean, that's pretty simple, but I mean, you see what I'm saying? God will open up doors. If there's no door open for you, you say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Well, don't do anything if you don't know what to do. Pray. You're still at the praying stage. A door opens up. Go through. That's where we're at right now. This is all we can do. Pray. Quit the whining. Quit the doom and gloom. Pray. Speak it God's word. Get out there, you know, call on those things that be not as though they are, right? And then get out there, and then the door that opens to you, then walk through it. Don't get a crowbar out. Don't get a pry bar out. Don't try to get your sledgehammer out. Make holes. Make doors. And then no sense doing that. Just beating your head against a rock. Your head may be hard. It's not that hard. Hello? And get that adamant faith, those things that you believe in. What are you willing to die for? That's what you have to ask yourself. What are you willing to die for? You need to go read some history. You need to go read some history. Just pull up on the internet, signers of the Declaration of Independence, and look what happened to those men. It's a major thing. And we're at that point in life. We're at that. Everybody keeps talking about this precipice we're at. We're at this, you know, at this cliff, and America's about to go over. Some people say America already has gone over and we're in free fall. Whatever. Listen to me. Don't live your life like that. Don't just go stand on the edge of that cliff, you know, hanging on by your toenails, about to fall over. Go ahead and move on in to what's yours. Live life as a Christian. Be strong in your faith. Be adamant in your faith. Be willing to stand that it brings you peace and everybody around you peace. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, hey, be adamant. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would. Do this for me this morning, all right? Because we don't have a church here that we're just spectators, we're participators. Everybody say, I'm a participator. Look at the person beside you on your left, and then you'll have to turn to your right, because if you just everybody looked the same way, we wouldn't work. But just look at those people around you and ask, just look at them this morning and say, do you know Jesus? Listen to me, if you said that and that was kind of a shock to you, and really right now you don't really know Jesus, you know, I had you do that, but somebody may be in here that it struck you funny because you're not really sure. Listen to me, I don't want you to leave this building today without me introducing him to you. He's been here all morning. He's still here right now. And all he wants from you is for you to acknowledge him and to let him come into your life. Folks, you're going to be walking in fear. You're going to be walking in dread in the days ahead if you do not have adamant faith in Jesus Christ. He's the only thing that's going to get you through. So if you're in here today, or if you're listening by audio, or you're watching by video today, and you don't know Jesus, well, it's real simple. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you'll confess with your mouth and you'll believe in your heart that he's the Son of God and that he died for you, that he'll come into your life. He just wants you to give him that access. He just wants to give him that place. So if you're in here today and you want me to introduce you to Jesus, you want to pray for the very first time, you're listening by audio and today's your day, well, then I simply want you to do this. Just lift your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. I want to know Jesus today. I want to be assured of my salvation today. I want to know that I know that I know that I know that I'm going to go to heaven. Because, folks, that brings you peace. That brings you a joy that you could no one can ever take from you. So if that's you today, then I want to ask you just say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. Today I want to know Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Today's your day. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Look, I'm not wanting to embarrass you. This is between you and Jesus. It's all between you and Jesus. But right now, I want to lead you through a prayer. Okay? Right there at your seat, I just want you to just pray. And just follow me in this prayer, but you pray it from your heart. Say, Jesus, today, I give you my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. And today, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood. Make heaven my home. Today, Jesus, I'm yours. Amen. Now look at me here for a minute, church. All of y'all that are out there watching today, listen to me. Jesus is here. And when you pray that prayer, right then, that it may seem so simple, but right now, your life is changed. Right now in heaven, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Right now, all of heaven is rejoicing. They are throwing the wildest heck of a party you've ever seen in your life for you today. Because you gave your life to Jesus. I see it this way. I don't exactly know how angels dance. But it says they're dancing. There's somebody doing the good old Texas two-step. They're rejoicing over you. They're rejoicing today because you're a new creature. All the old's gone. The past is gone. Your sins have been washed away. There's a clean slate. It's white. Your name written on it, it's white. There's no sin attached to you. Today, it's victory for you. Today is a brand new day in your life. Listen to me. No matter what happens tomorrow, you're headed for heaven. Everybody say, I'm headed to heaven. Look at the person beside you and say, man, I'm headed to heaven. Turn to the person on the other side of you and say, have some adamant faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me have my prayer team come down, pastoral team. If y'all come down here this morning, listen to me. If you're here in church and you need prayer, you got things, other issues going on in life and you need prayer, well, then we're here to pray with you. We're here to stand here with you and agree with you today and believe God for Him to move mountains in your life. So I'm gonna pray for service. I'm going to dismiss service. But if you're here and you want prayer, come on down here with us. And we'll be believing God for you. Amen? Now grab that person's hand beside you. Look at them one more time. Say, I'm headed to heaven. Lord, we thank you today that we have that assurance within our heart. No matter whatever's going to happen in the future, no matter where we're going, Lord God, I know we're going to heaven. I thank you for it, Jesus. I thank you we've made you the Lord and Savior of our life, and that's where we're going. So, Father, I ask you today to just put your hand upon each and every one of us, to bless us, Lord, to let those places in our lives come that we have adamant faith and we get resolved down on the inside of us what we're to do, Lord God, what we believe in, how we're to walk, Lord God. Lord, where our speech has been wrong and we've been speaking doubt and unbelief, or we've been walking around with the dooms and the glooms, Lord, that we'll change that into a positive confession, Lord God, that we'll have your word pouring forth out of us into this world. And Lord, I know the world wants to steal it for us. The devil wants to steal it from us. This evil age wants us to shut up, but I declare we won't shut up. I declare our heads are harder than theirs are. I declare that we're made out of adamant stone, that by God we'll cut through everything that comes in our path. We will not yield. We will not give up. And I just thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it. Now, Lord, all this week, just give us people to talk to. Give us people to tell this good news about Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hey, church, God bless you. We're down here if you need prayer.